Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today.
It's a gorgeous day today in the Midwest.
It is. It's beautiful. How was your 4th?
Well, the 4th was somewhat uneventful, but I kind of like it that way.
Yeah, we had great weather. We welcomed a new baby into our family on the 3rd, so that was exciting. Not my own.
But not
no.
your own.
No, huh? My great niece, and we got to meet a great nephew that was in town, so lots of family time for us.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, today in Answering the Call, how one local parish reached out to less engaged Catholics in the pews and beyond, and we'll talk with the pastor who ignited a lot of interest by asking parishioners to turn up the flame. We'll explain.
Plus, we'll talk with the vocations director for one of the fastest growing and youngest women's religious communities in the country.
And in no ordinary conversation, hear about Archbishop Nienstedt's vision for the first annual Rediscover Catholic Celebration.
But we'll start out the show with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. And Joe, since the last time we talked, the news is pretty much out, but it's still big news.
Yeah, there's been a lot of big news, and maybe the biggest was the announcement from Pope Francis that cleared the way for the Church to canonize both Blessed John Paul II and Blessed John the 23rd.
That's huge.
And there's a good chance both popes will be declared saints by the end of the year. And, you know, I think the announcement as it relates to John Paul is something we all knew would come eventually.
Right.
You know, there was a groundswell for it. I think we all remember that day of his funeral in 2005 when the crowd in the square,
you know, chanting.
Outside, yeah, Santo Subito, sainthood now, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And both men had such a great impact on the Church and the world. John the 23rd, of course, convened the Second Vatican Council, and John Paul championed human life and human rights and brought the Church's teachings to all corners of the globe, really. And at the time, a pope traveling around the world was a new thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the impact of his global evangelization was huge, of course. And, you know, he was the first pope I ever saw in person, and the first time was at World Youth Day in Denver in 93. And I just remember being at Cherry Creek State Park for the event with a huge crowd. I was covering it for the Catholic paper I worked for at the time, and, you know, he had such a connection with youth, and, you know, my most vivid memory of that whole event was him coming onto the stage and the crowd chanting, John Paul II, we love you, you know, over and over again.
He was like a rock star.
Yeah, and then the Pope responding, John Paul II, he loves you.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, and the whole place erupting in cheers. I just never heard a Pope, you know, communicate that way
right.
before. So just
and we have many priests today who credit their vocation
to him.
To him. They credit their realization of their vocation to
him. The John Paul II priests. And of course, John the 23rd was much beloved as well. So, you know, the canonization ceremonies for these two men will be well attended, I'm sure. And folks can read more about their sainthood causes in next week's paper, and including the story about the miracle cure of a Costa Rican woman from a brain aneurysm after she prayed to John Paul. So that was the second miracle attributed to him to move him closer to sainthood.
Excellent. Well, speaking of World Youth Day, we've got another one coming up.
That's right, and we'll have a story next week about some local youth and young adults that are attending World Youth Day later this month in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And we've got some folks going from St. Helena Parish in Minneapolis, St. Anne's in Hamel, and the parishes in Stillwater. And, you know, I think the anticipation around this gathering seems to have been ratcheted up a few notches with the election of Pope Francis,
mm-hmm.
You know, who's shown a wonderful rapport with young people, and
right.
he's heading back to a part of the world that he calls home. And, you know, it makes me think back a little bit, you know, Pope John Paul, who started these international gatherings back in the late 80s, and Pope Benedict, you know, they both put their own personal stamps on these events, I think. You know, Pope John Paul really tapped into the energy and the enthusiasm of the crowds, and Pope Benedict did that too, and really focused on the importance of youth living out their you know, Christian call to discipleship. And, you know, he also brought Eucharistic adoration into the mix with
that's
the crowd.
Right.
I think maybe a lot of people remember the night of the storm in Madrid in 2011, where the crowd, you know, had the wind and the rain coming down on them, and the Pope stayed right there with them, and then they prayed quietly before the Blessed Sacrament. It's just a wonderful moment.
I take it it's been fairly well confirmed that Pope Francis will attend.
Yes. Yes, okay. he will be there, and it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what touches he'll bring and what he'll say to the youth. You know, he's already obviously done some things differently as part of his papal office, so maybe he'll do some things differently as part of this gathering as well. And the theme here is go and make disciples of all nations, and you know, I think that's right in Pope Francis's wheelhouse. So, you know, one thing I think he'll do is challenge the youth and offer support to them to live out their faith, not just privately, but in the public square as well, reaching out to the poor and spreading the gospel in this age of the new evangelization.
It's a challenge, especially for a young person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we'll have more about, you know, the local youth who are going and more just about the event in general in next week's issue.
Well, as long as we're talking about Pope Francis, he has his first encyclical.
Almost overshadowed a bit by that news about the canonization process. Was the release of Pope Francis's first encyclical, Lumen Fidei, or The Light of Faith, very appropriate in this year of faith. And this is one that Pope Benedict contributed to before he stepped down, and really completes kind of a papal trilogy of encyclicals on the three theological virtues. Pope Benedict's first one in 2005, Deus Caritas Est, on charity, and then Spes Salvi and on hope in 2007. And, you know, we hear that term often, encyclical, in the church, and it's really one of the most authoritative forms of papal writing out there. And they're not necessarily light reading, but they're very rich, you know, in their teaching and messages. So I haven't been able to read the whole thing in its entirety yet, but I have read some lengthier excerpts. And, you know, it talks about the challenges posed by relativism and idolatry in today's world, the importance of the sacraments and of faith lived out in communion with the church. So these are obviously
very timely stuff.
Yeah, very timely, very important messages that our new Pope and our previous Pope want us to know and understand. So it's certainly worth time setting aside to read it, maybe in parts over several
days.
How
long is it? I mean,
well, you know, I actually dropped it in a Word document and did a word count because I was curious. It comes in about 18,000 words, so
That's a couple settings.
And how can you get it online?
Yes, you can. You can go to the Vatican website, vatican.va, and the whole thing is there. And, you know, it's one of those things, if you read it in parts, I think a lot of things kind of jump out at you and really offer something for some prayerful meditation over some of those passages. So, like I said, it's not light reading, but it's important reading to do, and we should, you know, when we have that opportunity, take advantage of it.
Fascinating story coming up in the Catholic Spirit about a woman from the Archdiocese's Venezuelan mission. Tell me about that.
Yeah, she recently had some life-changing back surgery done here in the Twin Cities, thanks in large part to the efforts of a local college student and his family. So the student, his name is Cameron Pera, and he's a 2011 graduate of Creighton-Durham Hall, and he goes to the University of Wisconsin now, but he taught high school English for a year at Jesu Cristo Resucitado Parish in Venezuela. That's the Archdiocese and Mission Parish, and he got to know a young woman named Gracie who suffered from a severe case of scoliosis, you know, curvature of the spine, and he wanted to help because Gracie's family really had exhausted all their options in Venezuela and didn't have the money to go somewhere else for the kind of surgery she needed. But thankfully, you know, things just kind of fell into place. Cameron's father, Jerry, just happens to be an orthopedic surgeon, and his uncle, Joe, is a spinal surgeon here in the Twin Cities.
Wow, well, that worked out.
Yeah, and they agreed to do the surgery.
Oh,
and
awesome.
One of the doctor's wives works for a medical hardware company, and they donated some of the things needed for the surgery. And small Catholic world that it is, Deacon Stephen Koop, who's the head of surgery at Gillette Children's Hospital in St. Paul, worked to have the hospital donate the services, and members of a Venezuelan mission group at St. Joseph Parish in Waconia helped with some of the expenses of the trip here to get them here. But getting here, you know, even with that assistance, wasn't easy, and Cameron, the youth, talked to our reporter about that, as well as the church's role in all this, and I think we have a little bit of that interview to listen to.
Eventually, we started kind of thinking, well, we could, you know, she could come up and have surgery here in the United States. My uncle could potentially do it for free, and we could find various donors and whatnot. So it kind of started coming together, and really then we realized one of the biggest hurdles would be getting a visa to come from Venezuela to the United States. The process is pretty arduous and frustrating. They had to drive three separate trips to Caracas, which is a 10 to 12 hour bus ride, and it's fairly dangerous. The country's fairly dangerous and violent as a whole, and that trip isn't very safe either. And so the visa process was frustrating, and they'd do various interviews and talk about who was going to be supporting them and how that was going to work. My mom calls it the Catholic connection, that the Catholics here in the Twin Cities, and then in, you know, the mission in Venezuela, and just all these things coming together has been a huge part of it has been the church, which I really enjoy a lot, because it's like the connections that people have and the willingness people have to help one another. And, you know, the mission in Venezuela is supported, you know, by the Archdiocese and the people of the Archdiocese. And so without that, you know, my trip and experience wouldn't have happened. So really, it's what I really enjoy is that it's people from all over the world, especially in Gracie's case, it's people from all over the world and all over the country and all over the Twin Cities that have come together because they recognize a good cause and they recognize how they can make an important and drastic change in someone's life. And it's facilitated by the church.
You almost have to think that God had this in mind.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit at work, I think. And, you know, the surgery was done successfully earlier this month. And, you know, there are even more people that were instrumental in making this whole thing happen. And so people can read the whole story in the July 18th issue of the Catholic Spirit.
Lots of stuff coming up. Joe, good to talk to you.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep, have a great weekend.
You too.
And you can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
Coming up, Archbishop Neinstadt talks with Joe about what he's excited to see at the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration in today's No Ordinary Conversation.
Plus, in answering the call, we'll talk with Father Michael Van Sloan about one local parish's efforts to reach out to Catholics in their community and engage them more deeply in the faith.
And we'll speak with the vocations director of one of the fastest-growing women's religious communities in the country. All ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
I'd like to introduce Therese McCann, a licensed psychologist in St. Paul. She not only shares your Catholic values, but uses the Catholic faith in therapy sessions.
I'm really excited by the work I'm able to do with faith-filled Catholics. It's very efficient and effective, and we do it in prayer. If you're not able to live life to the fullest, I'm very skilled at getting to the core of what's bothering you. And when we get there, we'll invite the Lord in. It's where He belongs. It's where He wants to be. And when God comes in contact with our woundedness, amazing things happen. Everyone needs help sometimes. So give me a call. Come on in. With the Lord's help, we'll get it done.
I'm Dr. Matt Paquette. I'm a local physician. I'm a local internist here in the Twin Cities, and I've sent dozens of patients to Therese McCann with wonderful results. It's not only that she gives very helpful advice, but what's so amazing is that she brings about a real and lasting transformation in people.
You can reach psychologist Therese McCann at 651-222-5200.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, like we talked about earlier, Pope John Paul II will be canonized sometime soon, I guess, later this year, don't you think?
What they are predicting is by the end of the year. I'll hazard a guess that it'll be around Christmas time.
Well, that will be fun to look forward to and to watch and cover. And I guess he's been on this fast track for a while, being one of the fastest to get to beatification in the century.
Well, and I haven't heard for sure whether they're going to have the canonization for both Pope John Paul II
together.
And John the 23rd together.
Yeah.
But they'll be close together at least. So big times in the church.
Yeah, we'll have to watch for that. And Blessed John Paul II inspired people around the world, and perhaps in particular those who grew up during his papacy. Some credit his speaking of truth and his dedication to tradition for a surge in vocations to more traditional women's religious orders.
Well, one order which has seen a boom in recent years is the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia in Nashville, often referred to as the Nashville Dominicans. They've welcomed large numbers of new postulants, 21 in 2012, and they are young. The average age of a Nashville Dominican is 36 years old, decades younger than the average in most other women's religious orders.
Right, and joining us this morning to share more about the Nashville Dominicans is Sister Marie, Peter Marie. Thank you for talking with us today, Sister. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to hearing more about the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia in Nashville and your mission. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, about our order.
Yeah.
So there's about 280 of us, and we're in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were founded in 1860, so a long, beautiful history here in Nashville. And we are Dominicans, so St. Dominic was given the charism to preach for the salvation of souls. And so we carried out that beautiful charism by teaching. That's our apostolate, in Catholic schools all over the United States and in a couple other countries. So preschoolers all the way through college, we're bringing Jesus Christ to those students, and as well their families, their moms and dads, mm-hmm. and siblings, which is also a beautiful part of the apostolate, to evangelize not just the students but the entire family.
Sister, tell me a little bit of your story. How did you know that consecrated religious life was your vocation?
Yeah, it was a surprise to me, actually.
God does that, doesn't he?
He does. That's more likely than not. And I was on the track to be a dancer, so I wanted to be a Broadway dancer. I went to school for that, and nowhere in my thoughts was the idea of being a religious sister. But the seed of that idea was planted by the college chaplain. I went to the University of Kansas, and we have a great Catholic campus center there. And that priest first brought up the idea, and he told me that he thought I'd make a great sister. And at the time, I thought, no way.
He just kind of laughed it off.
I've got other plans.
Yeah.
But that seed was planted, and really what happened is the more I developed a prayer life and a relationship with Christ, the more that wasn't just an idea that came from outside. It was, I felt the Lord was calling me to be a sister, and it's hard to explain, but it was a deep sense that this is what the Lord wanted from me. And at first, I didn't understand the idea of religious life, so I thought, oh my gosh, what is the Lord going to be taking from me, all my mm-hmm. dreams, aspirations? But I realized the more that I understood the call to religious life, that was the deepest desire of my heart, and the Lord wanted to fulfill those desires. And sometimes we don't even know what it is that we truly desire until we place those desires in the Lord's hands. And I saw, this is the greatest desire of my heart, and this is actually what I want. I want to be a sister and be totally given to Christ. So, yeah, that's my story.
Well, you know the old saying, sister, if you want to hear God laugh, Tell him
your
plan.
Yeah, I love that one.
It's so true.
Well, you bring up something that's very interesting, and that is that you had plans, and they were really great plans, and a lot of the young women in your community are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So how do you respond to someone who says, well, oh gosh, what a waste with all these young women who have gone to college and have a bright future
like
ahead of them.
Sacrificing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say to them, don't limit the world of possibilities the Lord is ready to offer to you. Religious life is a great adventure, and I think that if we trust the Lord, with our gifts and our talents, we're not going to be disappointed. The Lord offers. He says, those who have given up everything, I will give you 100-fold in return. And it's not just a nice idea. That sounds really nice, but it's absolutely true. And he gives us 100-fold. But what is life? He is the only thing truly worth living for. And if we place all of those desires, all of our gifts, our intelligence, our education, our everything in his hands, he's going to fulfill those in ways that we didn't quite expect, but it's going to be even better, and it's going to bring us the greatest joy.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the nuts and bolts of religious life. How about living in community? Mm. Why is that so important?
Mm. Religious community, I think that is one of the greatest joys of consecrated life, truly, and that's what I have found in my 12 years of being a sister, is the community, is a great joy. And I think, if you look at God himself, he is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then Jesus Christ chose to live in a human family. The Father sent his Son into a human family, and then Christ himself called together a group of apostles to live in community with each other. We're made for that. And you see that lived in beautiful families, the core, of our society is in a human family. And then, so that's the way the Lord has made us. And even more so in religious life, we're called to be a bride of Christ, a bride to the church. And we should be the best lovers, the best at charity. And so in community, we learn to love without limits, just as Christ did. No one was excluded from Christ's love in the world. And so in community, we learn that very same thing. We're called to imitate Christ in a radical way, and that no one is excluded from our love. And then we can bring that out into our apostolate and teach that to others.
Well, and why did you choose the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia? How was that? How did that happen for you?
Okay, well, I found the sisters on the internet, which is not unusual now today, even more
right.
so.
And you did some research.
Mm-hmm, I did some research, and I wasn't familiar with Dominicans, but as soon as I started reading about the charism, I was immediately very attracted to the spirituality, the idea to contemplate and to give to others the fruits of that contemplation, and this beautiful combination of a very deep prayer life and an hororium with a very active apostolate. So you come to know Christ in prayer in your community, and then you cannot help but evangelize and
but
give him to
it.
Others.
Yeah.
And that was very attractive to me because that was kind of in my heart. So reading about the Dominican charism was like somebody just cracked open my heart and had it on page, and I thought, oh my gosh. And then coming to visit the community and seeing that lived out authentically and in such a joyful way, you couldn't help but be attracted to this beautiful life. So I knew this is where God was calling me.
Let's talk about the traditional habit. You wear the traditional habit, and that's something which has kind of come back in the church, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And I think, you know, it's just, it's in line with our human nature. You know, we need signs and symbols just so the very way we're made, because it reminds us of a greater reality. In our churches, you see statues, you have incense, bells, everything.
Symbols are everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they remind us of the heavenly realities, that the saints and angels are present to us during the Eucharistic celebration, and it's a great reminder. So for a religious sister, the habit reminds me, first of all, and then to those in the world, that I belong totally to Christ. And we need those reminders in our lives.
And those reminders probably maybe inspire some other women who are walking around to inquire about your order. How many of those do you receive every month? I mean, is it a big group of people wondering and asking you questions about what you do, who you are?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I'd say, you know, 40, 50 a month, something
oh,
like
wow.
that. Yeah, and you know, what's so beautiful about that is I always tell people, if somebody could spend just one day in the vocation office, they would be filled with such great hope, because you have these women calling, emailing, inquiring by letter. They're willing to give the Lord their entire lives if he's calling them to do that, and they're ready to be that generous. I mean, how beautiful.
It's a huge thing,
yeah.
a huge decision to make, and,
yeah.
and that so many women are interested in doing it is amazing to me.
Yes.
What do you see in the next decade for the Nashville Dominican Sisters?
I think, you know, continuing to be open to the Holy Spirit and what the church is asking of us. Our community has always been very faithful to the church's mission, and I think we're just going to continue to be open to how we're called to participate in the new evangelization, staying within the heart of the church and saying, okay, what is the church asking of us now, and how are we called to carry that out as Dominicans, and then specifically as Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia? Where is the church moving us?
Finally, what advice would you have for a young woman who is trying to discern her vocation?
I would say, remember, have on the forefront of your mind the words of Christ, of John Paul II, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis, and that is, do not be afraid. And you can't really say that enough. And invite them, draw close to the Lord in prayer, and ask him to increase your trust in him so that you aren't afraid. And the closer they're drawn to the Lord in prayer, the easier they're going to have an easier time discerning his voice, the more you know Christ, the more familiar you are, and the more easily you'll know His voice when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then visit communities. Talk to vocation directors. Go and see the life. That's the best way to know where you're called, is to see the life lived and live it yourself, for, you know, on a retreat or a visit. And the life itself will speak to you and tell you where you're being called.
Sister Peter Marie of the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia in Nashville. So good to talk with you
Thank
this
you
morning.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. We can
feel the joy in
mm-hmm.
your voice.
Inspiring.
Thank you.
Now, if you're interested in finding out more about consecrated religious life, the priesthood, or the permanent diaconate, visit the website of the Office of Vocations of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis at 10,000vocations.org. That's 10,000vocations.org to help you get started on your search. We put a link on our show page.
And if there's an interview topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, we want to hear from you. There are lots of ways to reach us. You can email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org, or go click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page, or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com.
If you want to gather with fellow Catholics on fire with the faith and wanting to share the faith with others, there's a great event coming up where you can do just that.
Yeah, I want to go to this. Join fellow Catholics at the Power of Personal Witness Workshop on Saturday, July 20th, 2013, from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul's Hayden Hall. The event is free. You're just asked to register so organizers can plan for your attendance. Register now via email at rediscover@archspm.org, and that's rediscover@archspm.org, or call 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411.
Now, at the Power of Personal Witness, you'll hear Father Peter Laird talk about how to share your story to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Find out how you can move from relating to others on their faith journey to revealing how God has changed your life, to sharing how you are rejoicing in your new life in Christ. Come bring a friend. Learn more about the Power of Personal Witness. Mark your calendar now for the Power of Personal Witness, Saturday, July 20th. It's creeping up. July 20th, 2013, 9 to 10:30 a.m. Again, the event is free, but please let them know you're coming by emailing rediscover@archspm.org. That's rediscover@archspm.org, or call 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411.
And in that event, I think you have to develop a personal testimony, which I think will be very challenging but very important,
it
I guess,
is a
when
challenge.
You have to answer questions to people about why you choose what you choose.
It's a challenge, but it is part of our baptismal call.
Right. It's our duty.
It's absolutely part of being a Christian.
Absolutely. So I encourage everyone to attend that. I will be there. And then coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, and today's Answering the Call, Father Michael Van Sloan shares how St. Stephen Parish in Anoka turned up the flame. We'll explain straight ahead.
Plus, lots of folks are eagerly anticipating the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. In No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Neinstedt shares the reasons why he's looking forward to this event October 12th. All ahead on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Father Rocky here. Just remember this, the key word is subscribe. So go to our website right now, relevantradio.com, and type in the keyword subscribe. If you subscribe to the Catholic Answer magazine, which can be yours for only $24.95, you'll be smarter, better informed, much more confident in your faith, and happier. Best of all, Relevant Radio gets a $24.95 the first year. Take it from me, I've been writing for the Catholic Answer for 10 years, and we answer all the questions you ask. I really want you to have this magazine in your home, and I want you to read every issue cover to cover and word for word. In every issue, you'll learn new things which will deepen your understanding of the faith. You'll no longer be tongue-tied when people ask you a question about our religion. You'll be a much stronger Catholic, and Jesus Christ needs you to be stronger. For a limited time only, Relevant Radio listeners can sign up for this magazine at our website, relevantradio.com, keyword subscribe. Relevantradio.com, keyword subscribe.
Tear away the ties that bind you. Roll away the stone that hides you. Leave all sin and death behind you. See the Lord through eyes of faith. Happy they whose hearts receive.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And in today's Answering the Call, how one local parish reached out to less engaged Catholics through an innovative and comprehensive parish-wide effort.
Turn up the flame at St. Stephen in Anoka ignited interest among parishioners in the pews, led many families to deeper engagement in the faith. We're joined by Father Michael Van Sloan to tell us more. Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
Tell me about Turn Up the Flame. This sounds like a dynamic effort.
I love the name. How did it start?
It happened one night when I was doing my spiritual reading, of all things.
Uh-huh.
I was reading Bishop Sheen, A Priest Is Not His Own, and he was talking about how many pastors do capital campaigns in their parishes.
Oh, yes.
And how when they do these capital campaigns, they get committees, they have all kinds of efforts, all kinds of publications, and they work really hard at it. And he was kind of scratching his head going, why do they put that much money or effort into raising money and not that kind of effort into raising the faith?
Uh-huh.
Right. And so I went, you know something, this would be a wonderful thing to do, and let's try and raise the faith and model it on a capital campaign.
Oh, interesting.
So a capital campaign runs for 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
So this particular thing was going to run for 3 years. And in a capital campaign, you do pledging to give money. And so for this particular thing, we designed it to make pledges, different ways that people would grow in their faith.
So it began in 2008, and tell us about the 3 years. It's divided into three different topics: learn, practice, share.
Mm-hmm.
And can you elaborate on those a little bit more?
Well, evangelization was one of the primary things that we wanted to do, but you can't give to others what you don't have yourself.
Right.
Very true.
We often talk about that. You have to know it to talk about it.
So the first year, we wanted to have people do things that were growing in your own personal prayer, growing mm-hmm. in your own personal faith life. Well, that meant going to Mass more frequently, going to Bible study, reading the Bible, setting aside time to do the rosary and all that kind of thing. You know, and then the second year was hopefully to try and integrate it more, and then the third year was to share it in a more active way.
Right.
I love this pledge form that you've come up
Me
with.
Me too.
And it's not a pledge of funds. It's a pledge of what you're going to do. At the Mass, for example, I will attend Mass every Sunday, attend Sunday Mass on vacation when traveling. It's great stuff here. Spiritual reading. I will read one spiritual book this year. Who came up with this pledge form?
I did.
Oh, well, congratulations.
I cooked it up from scratch. And basically what I did was take things that you ought to be doing anyway.
Well, very
right.
true.
You should go to
That's
Mass the all
point.
The time. You should pray all the time.
Right.
And put the things that are what we would consider to be the basic components of an active spiritual life and place them in front of people. One of the problems with our spiritual life is that we grow lax. And so to put them all right back in front of us and say, I'm going to be doing what I
You're
should be
accountable.
Doing and growing it
yeah.
Was the concept.
I like it. I think I'm going to have to take this home and do it myself. And it keeps you accountable when you see it in a tangible form right there.
It's interesting that you say accountable, because when we did the pledge form, we did it with a carbon copy.
Uh-huh.
So that there would be, when you filled out the form, there would be two copies, and then we had one to bring to church, so we'd have a commitment Sunday, so you would bring it up just like you would do on a capital campaign when you bring your pledge card forward.
Uh-huh.
But the other copy you would retain.
Right.
And so we encourage people, like, put them on their
refrigerator. Put them
on your fridge. Put them on the mirror in the bathroom.
Right.
Put them in places where you're going to be constantly reminded about them.
Reminded of your commitments.
Mm-hmm.
How did you
that.
Get? How did you encourage people to not just participate but to lead in this effort? That has to be a big thing.
Well, so we ask parents to lead their children. We ask the people, the catechists and faith formation, to try and do it with their students, our teachers. There's so many opportunities to lead. And all of us have an area of influence, you know, whether it's going to be at work in your work group or, you know, on a sports team with your fellow teammates and all of those sorts of things. So you just try and be with the people that you're normally with each day.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, tell us about what you saw result-wise generally, and any stories you could share after this was all said and done. How were the results, and did you see some transformations? And
there were tremendous transformations. So when we have these wristbands that we gave as one of the things to be a reminder to yourself and a witness to others.
Okay.
The number of people that told me that they were at work and they're wearing their wristband, mm-hmm. and a coworker said, "What is that?"
That's so cool.
And so normally people don't want to have you kind of bring it up, mm-hmm. and try and push on them. But when they're asking the questions and it opens the door,
right.
It's wonderful.
It's easy, yeah.
Some interesting stories is that, you know, I get called to the hospital a lot.
Sure.
You know, to do anointings and visit the sick and so forth.
Not unusual in your vocation.
The number of parishioners that were wearing these wristbands as hospital patients.
Oh, my.
Shocked me.
Yeah.
What did the wristband say?
Turn up the flame, share your faith, mm-hmm. keep the flame alive. So we had, I think, 6 or 7 different wristbands that we did over the course of the campaign.
Maybe we should make some of those for Rediscover. That would be a good thing. Those and the share cards would work well together.
Now you've done this at your parish. How would you encourage other parishes to pick up the ball on something like this?
I'm certainly willing to share this with other pastors if they.
It's not a trade secret.
No, it's not a trade secret. And I actually had thought once upon a time about going down to the Archdiocese and say maybe this would be something that we could do on a wider scale. I've never got to the point where I've taken the time to write it up and publish it and so forth, but I think it would be an interesting concept.
Especially
when I
now.
Share it with other priests, they go, wow, that would be wonderful to do.
Mm-hmm. It would go hand in hand with the whole Rediscover thing because it all is the same thing, ending up and sharing your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you engage parishioners, not just to participate, but to take leadership like we talked about? And how was the participation in your parish?
The participation was really good. So we have 14,000 parishioners, and I know that, you know, an average parish, maybe half of them don't attend on a weekly basis. So we have 7,000 that come on a regular weekend,
mm-hmm.
or maybe 6,000. I'm going, I want to get pledges from at least half. And we got returns on 2,500 people in the first year. So, you know, that wasn't exactly as much as I wanted, but when you think that there's that many people that are paying attention to their spiritual life and really trying to deepen and intensify, that's a good thing.
That is inspiring, yeah.
And, you know, in change theory, they talk about early adapters and late adapters and resistors. You know, there's always going to be a number that are going to wait and see. I don't know if I like this or not.
Oh, sure.
So the second year, you win over people that are going, oh, this really is effective. That really is helpful. So we actually got the number of people who pledged to increase in the second year.
This really is what the new evangelization is all about, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Underneath the whole thing is Jesus' call to conversion. And I think that the misinterpretation that people have about conversion is it's from non-belief to belief.
Right.
The real thing about conversion is that all of us as believers, Jesus calls us to go from the level of faith where we are to a stronger and more active level of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's intensifying our belief and deepening it rather than coming to it for those people who are already believers.
Well, conversion is an ongoing process, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Lot of people think it's a one-time thing, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so is the journey to learn more about our faith. I mean, we're constantly learning and supposed to be studying more to improve and then living that out in life in an authentic form where people can see you living the Christian life is something we should do. And then that leads to sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
It all goes together. And what do you think every Catholic's role is in this thing, the new evangelization?
Well, if they are going to be listening to Jesus' call to them, I mean, so he's constantly asking us to love more, to give more, you know, to face our sins and, you know, pull them out of our life. So we have, in new evangelization, we certainly have to grow in our relationship with Christ as the fundamental piece. But then he says, you know, he's constantly sending the disciples out. You know, last week in the gospel, he sends them out 2 by 2. So they're leaning on each other, helping each other, and sharing the contact that they've had with Jesus and his story with other people.
Mm-hmm.
This is really life-changing stuff, isn't it, Father?
It is.
Yeah. You must have really enjoyed seeing some of the faces come in with changed expressions on their faces after participating in this for a while.
I did, and you know, the little kids are some of the best.
Oh, I bet.
You know, I took my wristband to school, and the other kids wanted one.
Super, super cool.
You know, part of the flame was like checking off, I'm going to go to Mass, I'm going to go to confession. And I went, and I wouldn't have gone otherwise.
Right.
And it was good, you know. When you hear those kind of stories, it's tremendous.
And so you, up until about 2 weeks ago, you were at St. Stephen, and now you are moving to St. Bartholomew in Wayzata. Is that correct?
That's where I am at this very moment.
All right. And how is that going? Are you planning on implementing anything like this there, or...
Well, I certainly hope to.
Yeah.
I never do these kinds of things without visiting with the parish leadership, without talking to parish staff, school faculty, and all of that, because you need so many partners to make a program like this work. And when it comes to parish-wide efforts, I think I had maybe mentioned that when I arrived at St. Stephen's, I had to run three financial capital campaigns first.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of knew how to run the campaigns, and I arrived here, and we have a large parish debt, and the archdiocese is coming with a capital campaign. So the timing and sequencing will be, I'll have to fit all that together.
Right.
Turn up the flame. Great program, Father. Thanks so much for joining us and telling us a little bit about it today.
Well, thanks for your interest, and hopefully it will help other people to be stronger in their faith.
Absolutely. Well, you can find out more about Turn Up the Flame on the St. Stephen website, and we've set up a link on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And a reminder, if there's a new evangelization-related topic you'd like to hear more about on the Rediscover Hour, just let us know. Click on the show ideas on the lower right side of our show page or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, Archbishop Nienstedt shares his vision for the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration, featuring Matthew Kelly, Father Robert Barron, George Weigel, Jeff Cavins, and more dynamic speakers.
And we'll take a look at Catholic events happening in the coming weeks around the area. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm John Tetzloff, Advanced Case Specialist with Catholic United Financial. Let's talk about life insurance. We know it can be difficult. Maybe you've had a bad experience with robotic customer service numbers or websites. Start fresh with Catholic United. Our first question won't be how much you got. Instead, we'll show you how our financial products can complement what you already have. We use a simple fact-finding process called Unite and Grow. We'll ask how you want your Catholic faith reflected in your plan. We can even show you how life insurance can be an effective estate planning tool. Member owned for over 135 years. People helping people. Join us.
Catholic.
Who we are.
United.
What we are.
Financial.
What we do.
Catholic United Financial.
Life insurance, retirement products, IRA.
CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. In the St. Paul area, contact Mary Herons.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
There are already more than 1,500 people registered for the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration coming up October 12th.
And in today's No Ordinary Conversation, Archbishop Nienstedt talks with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, about his vision for the Rediscover Initiative and for the first annual Rediscover Catholic Celebration.
Archbishop, you've been a great supporter and advocate for the whole Rediscover Evangelization and Catechesis Initiative. Why is this so important?
Well, it's important because this is our response to the plea of the last really four popes, including our present Pope Francis, to undertake a new evangelization. And what's new about the evangelization is the situation we find ourselves in and the need for a greater motivation to spread the gospel. The church has always been a missionary church. The church has always been proclaiming the gospel. But in our times, we have a new situation that calls for us to kind of stand back and take a look at the situation and say, how are we going to respond to this using the word of God? And so we need to reclaim the fervor and the passion individuals need for this. And I think also that we need realize that it's not just the object of the new evangelization is not just individuals. That's where it starts. But it's also our parishes. I was just reading yesterday this work by Cardinal Wuerl, who was the redactor of the Synod on the New Evangelization. And he was saying that how important it is that the parish becomes re-energized, motivated to preach the gospel. And then I think the third part is our culture, because as we've learned recently, you know, particularly in the discussions that took place a year ago about the marriage amendment, we've lost a Christian culture. We've lost a sense in the secularized age. We've lost the focus on where does God fit in to our planning? Where does God fit into our decision making? And so I think those are the three, what I would call the three foci for this new evangelization program. And the Rediscover program is certainly our response to that.
Can you talk about how Rediscover ties back to your pastoral letter, I Believe, Therefore I Spoke?
Well, I like to think that that was the first salvo, you know, in the whole program. What I tried to do in that pastoral letter was not so much present a theological argument for the new evangelization, but to kind of situate it within our own context, to talk about some great figures in the past, like Father Hennepin, Bishop Creighton, the Sisters of St. Joseph. They all came into this area and brought the Word of God to us. They were the original missionaries, you know. So in a sense, you know, we have this missionary spirit in our DNA. So I wanted to remind people about that. Secondly, I wanted to talk about, especially at the last part of the letter, about the plan to get started. You know, how do we take on this great adventure? Challenge, but it's also an adventure. And the kind of the unique situation we have here in the Archdiocese for a new catechesis and a new sense of evangelization.
The Rediscover Initiative has provided a lot of opportunities to dig more deeply into our Catholic faith and to invite other people to do that as well. I want to spend a little time talking about the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration that's going to be October 12th at the River Center in St. Paul. First, tell me a little bit about what is your vision for that event?
Well, I'm really excited about this event because I hope that basically rented the River Center and we can accommodate 5,000 people, and we're hoping that we might even do a little more than that if the fire marshal lets us. We've had 12,000 people to our speaker series this past February and March, so we know that people are energized, people are excited about this. So I think the event will fill up very quickly. But my overall vision is that we should be having something like this on an annual basis. And it's really to energize the energizers, you know, and to bring people together who are already dynamically participating in our Catholic faith, and to get them motivated so that they can go out and, again, with these three foci in mind, you know, getting other people charged up about the faith, getting our parishes motivated about the faith, and then doing something about the culture.
Now, it spans the whole day. Can you talk a little bit about what's going to be happening there and what kind of experience do you hope Catholics will get from the event?
Well, we're going to begin with the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, mm-hmm. which is obviously the source and summit of our faith in Christ. And that'll be an important part of the day. And then there'll be multiple opportunities for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. The last four popes have told us that those are the two pillars, if you will, for the new evangelization, the Holy Eucharist and Reconciliation. And then we have a credible lineup of speakers. We have Matthew Kelly, whose book we passed out last Christmas, 186,000 copies of him. You know, he's been so good to us. He's a wonderful, dynamic speaker. We've got the famous Father Robert Barron, who with his Catholicism program, Catholic commentator George Weigel, Father Daniel Flores of Texas, Martha Fernandez Sardina, Jason Everett. So this is a real wonderful cast of speakers. So I think it'll be a very engaging.
In addition to the speakers, there's also a couple of tracks for young people, as well as Latino track. That was very important to have those as well.
Exactly. We want to touch every segment of the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. So we want it to be family ready to have programs for the young people. And we also want our Latino brothers and sisters to feel comfortable as well.
Hopefully, you know, I'm sure it will be a wonderful day, a very energetic day, a time to learn and then to go out. So maybe you could talk just a little bit about what would you like Catholics to do after this event, because it's really not the culmination of the Rediscover Initiative. In a lot of ways, it seems to be maybe a kickoff for even better things to come.
Well, I hope it'll accomplish a number of things. First of all, we're living in this year of faith that our Pontiff Emeritus, Pope Benedict XVI, has called for. And so in a way, this is our response to that particular call that he's made. But yes, I think you're right. We don't want to see this as the end of anything, but really kind of the launching pad for an ongoing initiative. Matthew Kelly was telling us when he was here a year ago that, you know, we don't want to even refer to the Rediscover program as a program. He said, let's call it an initiative. You know, this is something that is going to be ongoing and something that, we'll be able to react to it as time goes on. You know, what particular form it's going to take, I don't know presently, but we looking for this to be an ongoing celebration.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Energize the Energizers. I like that.
I can just imagine walking in with a bass drum
too,
and big
bunny
rabbit ears.
That's exactly what I was picturing. Lots of noise, and it'll be a fun time. So here are the details on the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. For those that don't know, this special event takes place on Saturday, October 12th, 2013 at the St. Paul River Center, and doors open at 7 a.m. and programming starts at 8:30 with Mass. Registration is now open at rediscover-faith.org. And the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration features speakers, amazing speakers. It'll feature Archbishop Nienstedt too, Matthew Kelly, Father Robert Barron, George Weigel, and many others. And there will be special programming opportunities for children and youth from kindergarten through 10th grade, as well as Spanish language programming.
And we've just had it confirmed. Father Rocky is going to be there.
That's right. So that's one more to add to the list. The lineup just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
You can go up to Father Rocky and tell him how much you enjoy Relevant Radio.
That's
and he'll,
right.
He'll be delighted to hear that. I'll tell you that.
Well, and it doesn't cost much to get in. So
no,
everyone's
it's really quite reasonable.
Mm-hmm. The adult tickets are only $15. Youth grades 7 to 10 are 7. And kids in kindergarten through 6 are only $5 each. So it's very accessible for anyone. And remember, you need to register. You can go now to rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org.
We anticipate this being a sellout. Archbishop Nienstedt was saying he's looking for 5,000 and maybe a few more if we can get the fire marshal to let us do it.
Well, and the day is going to be awesome. I mean, there's so much. There's over like 115 or something exhibitors that have already signed up.
That alone is a fun time going from
booth to table. Yeah.
And, checking out the wares, the Catholic wares that are available,
mm-hmm.
books and medals and all kinds of wonderful little items. Well, that's coming up again on, give me the date,
October 12th. Yep.
But make your reservations right now. Register now, rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org. And a reminder that you hear Archbishop Nienstedt regularly here on the Rediscover Hour in our No Ordinary Conversation segment. If you have an idea for a No Ordinary Conversation topic, contact us through the show page, rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar or email us directly at the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org. That's the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org.
Well, here's a quick look at some great Catholic events taking place locally. Excuse me. First, as you may have heard earlier in the show, there's the Power of Personal Witness Workshop on Saturday, July 20th, 2013, from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul's Hayden Hall. And this event is free. You're just asked to register so that the organizers can plan for your attendance. You can register now via email at rediscover at archspm.org, and that's rediscover at archspm.org, or call 651 651-291-4411 to register. That's 651-291-4411. And at The Power of Personal Witness, you'll hear Father Peter Laird talk about how to share your story to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Find out how you can move from relating to others on their faith journey to revealing how God has changed your life to sharing how you are rejoicing in your new life in Christ. Come bring a friend and learn more about The Power of Personal Witness. Mark your calendar now for The Power of Personal Witness, Saturday, July 20th, 2013, from 9 to 10:30 a.m. And again, the event is free, but please let us know you are coming by emailing rediscover@archspm.org or calling 651-291-4411. Again, that number is 651-291-4411.
Catholic men are invited to join Bishop Lee Pache for the next Catholic Man Night. Takes place on Friday, July 26th at St. Anne in Hamel. That's Friday, July 26th. The night starts at 6:30, ends by 9. Dinner is provided, free will offering gladly accepted to help defray hospitality costs. Bishop Pache will be speaking about the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ on July 26th. Now, if you're not familiar with Catholic Man Night, here's a quick description of what they're all about. Catholic Man Night helps 21st century men meet Jesus Christ through solid Catholic teaching presented in a way that makes sense to men. They hold monthly meetings at West Metro parishes. Again, the next event takes place at St. Anne in Hamel with a talk by Bishop Lee Pache, and it starts at 6:30 p.m.
And the Cathedral Young Adults invites all young adults up to age 39, single or married, to the Theology on Tap Summer Series. The next talk is Wednesday, July 17th, and the topic is Marriage as a Vocation, presented by Jean Stolpestad, Diocesan Director of Marriage and Family Life. Come and join other area young adults for an evening of faith, fellowship, and lively discussion from a Catholic faith perspective. All Theology on Tap events happen at the Glockenspiel Restaurant at 605 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Begins at 7 p.m.
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, in answering the call, find out about ongoing local opportunities for men to deepen their faith and their personal relationship with Jesus Christ and find friendship with fellow Catholic men.
And we'll hear from local Catholics about the specific role men play in the new evangelization.
Come back for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.